I think it was about a week ago, the pastor asked me if I would speak, just kind of give him a little bit of a break. This has got a big hum up here somewhere. I don't know where that says. Keeps going. Maybe it's gone now. I don't know where it is. It's a hummer over here. There it's gone, I think. Anyway, Pastor Shane asked me if I would speak, and I said, and he can just do this thing on, you know, like tomorrow. And for me, I need like a couple of months to get ready for it and pray and fast and take hikes and do all that stuff. But he gave me a couple options, and one of them was on stewardship, and it really, I think that's what the Lord really perked my interest on. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is stewardship. And eventually we'll get to Matthew 25:14-30, and eventually we'll get there. But I kind of want to preface it. Matthew 25:14-30. It's a long verse, and it's all about the talons. That whole thing, and that's a whole sermon. We're not going to really zero in on that too much, but we do need to talk about it. Whenever Pastor mentioned this to me, I started thinking, and you guys should too. How am I doing with the things that God has given me? You know, am I participating in His kingdom like He wants me to? And that's kind of the story of this talents thing. How am I doing with the things that God has given me? I'd kind of like to share with you this morning the definition of stewardship and describe the qualities of a good steward. So you can kind of guess what stewardship is. We don't use that word too much anymore. Hello. Back on. Hello. I don't know where I went. I'm back. I think he's getting rid of the hum. The hum's gone. It's a hummer. So stewardship, we don't hear that word too much anymore. For one reason or another, we've kind of transitioned into something else. But first off, let me give you a definition of steward, biblical definition of stewardship. There are many. But one in the Holman Bible Dictionary says, utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. Now, just think about that. If you're thinking about the gifts that God has given you and the talents that He's given you, utilizing and managing all the resources for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. So it always goes back to the glory of God. So whenever we use the word steward, we can probably change that to manager today. You know, we're managing God's stuff that He has given us. And as we go along here, I challenge you to think about what God has brought into your life. We'll give some examples after a while, but just think about, you know, here's two people down here that have a gift of up here worshiping. That's a gift. What are they doing with it? Are they using it? There's Glenda over here has some accounting and sharing up here skills. We all have God has put this stuff into our life. And some of us are going, you know, I don't really want to step out with that. Maybe it's a gift of ministry. Maybe it's a gift of visiting people. I don't know what it could be, but there are things that God's put in our life, and I'm thinking with today, you know, that this is going to kind of fit with what we were talking about earlier, is these are the end times. So what are we doing with those things? Are we being good stewards over the things God's given us? So the manager is someone given the responsibility to take care of something on the behalf of somebody else. And that would be the Lord, of course. In this case, we're entrusted to take care of the things God has entrusted to us. That is us, all of us. So here's a couple, three things. Utilizing the things that God has given you. Managing the things that God has given you. And using all the resources that God has given you. And as we go through this little sermon, just be thinking about what God has put in your life and how am I doing with that? Am I utilizing them? Or are they over here? Did I bury them? Like we'll get to the sermon. What am I doing with them? Am I managing them properly? The resources. What am I gathering in the resources to make this thing work? So, that's for the glory of the Lord and the betterment of His creation. And I put down here, are you feeling a little uncomfortable now? And I'm wondering if some of us aren't going, yeah. You know, not picking on the worship team by any means, but say God has gifted you to play that thing. And you're really good at it. But it's just kind of uncomfortable to raise my hand and say, yeah, I can play the keyboard, or I can play the piano, and I can lead worship. Because that's a commitment. Now it's a commitment. Now I got to do this. I said I would do it. You raise your hand as a Christian, you better step out and do it. Like the drummer over here. Ray came out and said, yeah, I can play those things. They were just sitting there. And he raised his hand. We said, yeah, we can use you. So whatever it is, I'd challenge you like that. So in regards to music, I give a little example of myself of kind of what to do and what not to do. Is, I don't know, it was 15 or 20 years ago, the Lord put together a group of people, musicians, that we gathered around and we formed a little band. And we called ourselves the Lost and Found, because some of us were lost and most of us were found. And it was so much fun, because we were all Christians. We got together and we started off singing at the street ministry deal down there in different churches and whatnot. And we sang mostly gospel / worship, upbeat worship things. And we got a lot of feedback from that. And, you know, I'll tell you a little bit more about the homeless thing later, but we had a lot of different people there. And some people didn't like having to eat and listen to Christian songs. And they voiced their opinion about that. But we sang it. And we enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun. And we started getting to where other people wanted us to come and play, like harvest get-togethers, you know, Halloween kind of deals. And we'd be with the bales of hay, and we'd be the band back there playing. And the more we did that, more and more, people would ask us to play something other than what we were playing, you know, Stairway to Heaven or something, you know. And... far out, you know, and some of our band members, including myself, you know, that was kind of where we were. We recognized all those songs, and some of them brought back bad memories. We did not want to do that, but we just got pressured into. We got the gift from the Lord. We're all great musicians. We had a mandolin player. Great voice. We had a lead guitar guy that had been playing all forever, all over the place. We had a bass guy who was actually taught music. Fiddle player. I was kind of the guy that just played the guitar in the middle and did the thing. But we had a good group of people, and all talented people. Well, this pressure kept coming, and we didn't really recognize it. We just thought, okay, we'll do that one. We'll do an Arlo Guthrie song, or we'll do a Bob Dylan song, or we'll do this. And we liked it because we liked playing music. And we got more out there. We started doing more and more, and we did, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Opry in Eugene. We did the Opry there. There, 300-400 people show up. And we're doing it, and they kind of like us, and they ask us back and everything. But we're getting off track. See, God gave us this gift to share His word to whoever. And we got to where we liked the applause. We liked the fact that people liked the way we sang, a Gordon Lightfoot song or whatever it was. I don't know. And we're going, hey, we're pretty good. They like us. Well, within about 2 or 3 years, it just fell apart. We started kind of getting angry and a little rubbing each other wrong, and, I need to have a little bit more time singing, and I'll do this song, and you guys don't play when I'm doing this, and we're doing that, and the next thing we know, we're done. God just pulled the plug on this thing. And that's the story of having a gift that God has given me. There was 6 of us, I think. And He's going, hey, I'm nowhere to be found in this anymore. You guys started off singing really good, and we'd go to some of those places, and they'd stand up and say, hey, they're worshiping the Lord in a setting that wasn't like that. And we changed that to where we're doing the deal. And God pulled the plug on it. And I'm glad that He did. Because we were going to record. I mean, that was our next step. Hey, we're pretty good. Let's record. God's going, nah, that ain't happening. That not happening. Start off with good intentions, godly intentions, and then you get pulled away by worldly temptations. It's really easy to do. In this story that we're going to get to, the third guy, it says in there, he buried his stuff because he was afraid. Remember that? He was afraid of when the master came back, he was going to, I don't know what the guy's going to do when he comes back, so I'm just going to bury it and give him his money back. He's afraid. And some of us are afraid to step out. And I don't know what your gifts are. I don't know what God's putting on your heart. But afraid to step out because I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know how this is going to work. What if I fail? Fear of failure is a big deal. In recovery programs, fear of failure keeps people from moving on. You can get somebody that's been an addict for 20 years and he goes for a year and a half and he's clean and sober, and you get him a job at a gas station. He does pretty good, this is a true story. The gas station owner said, hey, you're doing such a good job out there pumping gas, I want you to be inside, and I'm going to have you manage the place. Next thing you know, the guy's relapsed. And I'm saying, what happened? Where'd you go? He says, I didn't want a lot of responsibility. Fear of failure. He's afraid that if he got in that position, he's going to fail, and it's going to be right back to where he was years ago, with coaches and moms and dads and teachers and everybody else saying, you're never going to amount to anything, you're a loser. And this guy is going, I'm not going through that whole thing again. Fear of failure. Let's see. So we broke up the band. And then I'm getting to the scripture, by the way. It's coming. Here's Luke. I didn't have her do anything with this, but I don't think. Luke 12:42 and 43. You don't have to intrude there because I'll read it. Who then is faithful and a wise manager? That's what Christ is asking. Who is? He's asking us today. Who is faithful and a wise manager? whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food, their allowance at the proper time. It's good for that servant whom the master finds doing when he returns. And that's the big deal, is Christ is coming back. What are we doing with the resources that he has given us? I learned a couple lessons concerning that. One, I need to be mindful that the Lord will return anytime. And that's not a fearful thing. It's a diligence thing. He's asking me to do something. I need to get it done. I was thinking this morning about when my dad had asked me, we were not very well off, and he worked long hours, but he'd tell me to do some things while he was working. Mow the lawn, trim the trees, or pick up the walnuts, or whatever it was supposed to do. And he's coming home at 6 o'clock, and it's 5:30, and I'm still doing nothing. And I'm thinking, Dad's coming back. I need to get this stuff done. And I can't get it done in time. I can't get it all done because I messed up all during the day. I don't want to be like that when the Lord returns. I want to be that person that he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Instead of like the third guy in this story, he goes, what have you been doing, man? I could have put that money in my pocket. So, I need to be mindful that Jesus will return any time, and I'll be accountable for the gifts God has entrusted to me. How's this feeling to you this morning? It's a challenge. I don't know what your gifts are. I know some of you that have certain gifts, but I think there's some awesome gifts. There's some awesome things that people have that you haven't unwrapped the package yet. It says, there's the gift. God said, here it is. Open that thing up. You wait and see what I got for you. And some of us go, I don't know, a lot of responsibility. What if it's something I don't like to do? What if you want me to go to China? Be a missionary. Or what if you want me to be a missionary around here? What if you want me to start a little home group? I don't know. Matthew 25:14, or just about there. So the scripture this morning, Jesus identifies the qualities of a good steward. And in the story, there are three servants. Each received an allotment of money. This is just a summary. To manage for the owner. And as we get into this, try to imagine yourself, how would you handle this if the Lord is doing this with you? And right before we start, the context of this whole thing is in Matthew 24:42, where it says, keep watch because you do not know what day your Lord will come. That's before this thing. He's warning us to keep watch, be aware. And are you doing that? You know, are we concerned about the illnesses and the sicknesses going on around here? Is the gas prices going up? Lumber prices are going up. My kids are off and running. Are we, you know, those are all legitimate things, but in God's world, he's saying, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back soon. Are you going to be ready? Okay. Here we go. We're ready. It's long, but we're going to read it. Let's stand up for this, because this is God's word. I'm going to read it, and you can read it. It's right up there on the screen. I think this is the New King James? So maybe a little bit different. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. That's a key right there. You've got gifts, you've got talent. So each one, the first thing I thought about there when I first read this is, well, that's not fair. How come he gave that guy 5 and I only got 1? Well, You're not able to handle five right now, Bob. Okay? So he gave the guy one, each according to their own ability, and immediately he took off. He went on a journey. Then he, who had received the five talents, went and traded them and made another five. So he invested these things. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me to five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. His Lord, and you can imagine yourself hearing this, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. That's pretty cool. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The joy of your Lord. He also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I've gained two more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The joy. Then he would... Okay, here's the last guy. I don't know if he saw all that's going on, but he's now showing up with his one. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you're a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. You can circle that in your Bible. And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He's handing this back to him. Here's your money back. But his Lord answered and said to him, gulp, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest at least. So take the talent. So he took the talent from him, gave it to him. This is another one that throws me off sometimes. So he took the talent from him and gave it to the one who had ten. And us that are a little weak in the knees, we're going, what the heck? That guy's already got ten. Now you're giving him my stuff. For to everyone, here's the clincher, for everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whew. He didn't have receipts. Isn't that a fun scripture? So what do we do with all that? You know, we just read it and go, well, that happened a couple thousand years ago and pretty good story. I don't know how I apply it to my life. Well, it should be speaking to us. What are we doing with the things that God has given us? Yeah. If it is buried, let's go get it. Let's go dig it up. You know, say it's a talent, an ability talent that you have, or something that God has put on your heart, and you haven't done anything. It's back. It's either buried or on the back shelf. It's all dusty. Take it off the shelf, dig it up, and say, Lord, forgive me for hiding this thing. Forgive me for not using this. I need to dust this thing off and get it cleaned up and start applying it to your kingdom for the betterment of God's creation. Okay, the first two stewards or managers invested their talents and doubled it, what they were given. We got all that. The first two gave back to their owner double what they were given, and the owner replies, well done, faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. in contrast, the third servant, or money manager, and I got this underlined, fearfully, because that's what he said, I was afraid of you. That's not a relationship that you want to have with your Lord. I'm burying this thing because I don't know what God's going to do when he comes back. It should be, I'm going to invest this thing. When he comes back, he's going to be really happy with me. I'm going to show him that I'm worthy of this. He digs a hole and goes about his own life and he does his own thing. He disregards his job, which is properly care for the master's money. The master returns and you heard what he said. And probably said more than that. It wasn't written down. Get out. You're out of here. You're fired, whatever he said. One of the things that I'm thinking that you might have thought where this stewardship was going to go was about our money. You know, how are we handling our money? And what I've heard from Pastor over and over and over again is you guys are the, I don't know that this is a word, but givingest body. You are the givingest. I doubt if that's a word, but it'll work. You guys are. I mean, it is just, I'm privy to a little bit of that, but for a small body, it's just, you start looking at what's happening. You guys are great, and I believe that God is going to bless you because of that. Because of that part, the tithing, the offerings, that's a relationship thing, right? Kind of doesn't have too much to do with, you know, the church or anything, the finances or anything like that. It's a relationship. I years ago, I think it was Dobson, had an example of tithing. And he says, this is the way tithing ought to be. And he says, the dad is sitting in the living room, the little kids running around out there, and the dad says, hey, Jimmy, come here. And Jimmy comes in and says, yeah, what's up, Dad? And he says, I got this Milky Way for you. And he hands the kid Milky Way. Hey, thanks, Dad. Here's the gift. And he gets about halfway out of the house and he stops and comes back to Dad and breaks it in half. And, here, Dad, you have half. And takes off and he's off and running. And Dobson said, that's the way it is. That little kid did it because he loves his dad. He didn't have the thing before that happened. But he got it and he said, man, my dad is great. Got me this candy bar. I'm going to give him half. And you know what Dad's doing. He's in there, oh, my kid is so great. That's my kid, you know. So, we're really not talking about money so much today as the other gifts that God has put in our life. Stewardship encompasses everything that God has given us. I'd challenge it on that sentence right there is, what has God given you? I mean, we can go down the line. We could stand up and say, God has given me this, he's given me this, he's given me the ability to work back there on the computer. I mean, she's got the ability to do that. And I don't have the ability to do that. God has given her the ability to do that. She's nurturing that. You know, it just goes on and on and on. What are we doing with it? Okay? So we're utilizing, we're managing, and we're utilizing and managing everything, all the resources that God has given us. Got to do it. We've been entrusted with the treasures of the gospel of faith. These are some possibles. The gospel of faith and the authority in the spiritual realm. And are we using these or are we burying them? Here's I think I got this one up there. 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You all have gifts. We know the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there are other gifts. There are other things that I'm just challenging you to see what these things are. Open the drawer. See what God has put in there. And how do I apply them? Or am I just going to keep going on? And the world's going in the toilet and I'm going with it. No. We're the remnant. My wife and I started tagging into that word. And I think, yeah, praise God. Praise God that I haven't fallen away. Praise God that I'm not out there doing my thing. I'm still here. It's kind of uncomfortable at times. Not here, but I'm still walking with the Lord. And I'm still saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What's my assignment today? I'll give you a couple of words here. A good steward is wise with what he's given. The parable of the talents, the good steward's invested his resources wisely. Are we investing the gifts the Lord has given us to bear fruit? And I'll give you an example here in a minute. A good steward is kind. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way. Did I put that one up there? No, I didn't. So a good steward is kind. And James 5:20 says, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins. You guys, that's our assignment. When you go to the store, when you go get gas, when you're working somewhere on your job, our assignment is to share the life of Christ in the way you posture yourself or verbally. What's that thing? You know, I share the Lord. How's that go? And all the time, and sometimes I talk about it, or sometimes you use words. People are watching you. They're watching you right now. Here's a church in Merrill Creek, and they're all meeting. What's your neighbor thinking about that? Are you guys still meeting? Or on the job? They're watching to see how you handle the fact that you just hit your thumb with a hammer. Did he say that? He didn't sound like a Christian. You know, I have trouble with that myself, but people are watching us. Do they know when they come onto your property that there's something different about your place? Is the Holy Spirit dwelling there? Okay? Being kind. And that encompasses a lot of things. You know, just helping somebody out, volunteering, all those things. And some of you might have that gift. What if there's a gift of visiting people in the hospital? If you can. You can't now, but... Or in old folks' homes, or people that are homebound right now. People that can't get out. Maybe there's a whole ministry going on right now of people that can't get out of their house, and you're the one that goes there and brings them their groceries free of charge, or you just mow their lawn, or you take care of business around there for them. It's a little ministry. There's all kinds of stuff. It is endless. The ministry, the gifts that God has given us, and it's all for God's glory. We're not doing it to get kudos. You guys know Wayne Cadero? Have you heard of him? He's a pastor and a great guy. He talks about himself being vulnerable, and he said that the whole church is a big church in Hawaii. The whole church that was going to go clean up the area part of it had to do with mowing, and some of the jobs were in the back. The road was out here and some of it was in the back. And he decided in order to be seen doing good things, he was going to be out front mowing the lawn. And he said he got out there and he's mowing the lawn and he's waving to people driving by and they see him and the whole thing. And the other people are in the back digging out weeds and nobody sees him. And the Lord just nailed him. So what are you doing? You're doing this to be seen? Are you doing it because it's a kind thing to do? So we got to check ourselves on that stuff too. Are you investing in the kingdom? And are you participating in God's purpose? Now here's one of the more important things. Biblical stewardship is always about the gospel of Jesus Christ and people. Investing in people. Now I'm going to give you an example of how that worked for my wife and I over the years. Investing in people. And that doesn't mean, you know, their business. It's investing Christ into people like Pastor does up here. He's investing in us. And there will be a fruit from that. See how that works? Say, and family is first. Is Christ first, right? Family, church, work. Golf is clear down here, and, you know, those other things. But you get those things in order. You get them out of order. You get church up here, not going to work. It's always Christ, God first, then your family. You get work above your family, what happens? Not going to work. So God, family, church, and then even ministry. Say you have a great ministry, and that goes up top, not going to work. So you keep those things in order like that. So family, God's people certainly means family. Being parents is a big deal for all of us, and will be for some of you. Do we know something about that? No, okay. And the Greek word for steward is household manager. Isn't that interesting? You're a manager. And then this situation where it has to do with family, this could even mean mom and dad. We would be good stewards caring for our children given to us. God has given us the children to take care of. How are we doing with that? You know, I go on to say that I don't know when that actually ends. You know, we've got our two boys at home and we're still kind of being good stewards over them as best we can. It's kind of tough when they're older. Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone doesn't provide for his own, is that up there? Yeah. But if anyone doesn't provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, then he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. This is a big deal. This is one gift that we don't want to bury. This is one gift that's got to be right up on top with the 5 talents that we invest and see the fruit of that that comes back. I just went on to say that I used to go down to California to do work down there, and I stayed with my mom. And I'm like 55 years old, and so I'm still her son, and she's wanting to know if I brush my teeth and make my bed, and God, when does this stop? I don't think it does. She's always investing in me, and I'm going, time to quit, Mom. So, and then there's stewardship over people. And what does that look like? Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Now, think about who the leaders are. Could you be a leader? Obey your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. This is our pastor, for one. Obey them so that their work will be joy. That comes up again. Not a burden. You know, are we a burden to pastor? I hope not. But that would be of no advantage to you. So in this verse, there are leaders that watch over us. And at different levels. There are people in this setting here that are leaders. They've taken a step of authority. over us? And are we listening to them? Are we submitting to them? And as a leader, how are, maybe you've been called to do that. I'm looking around here, and maybe there's people out here that have been called as leaders, and you're not doing it because it's too much responsibility. And what if they don't like me when I say that? We used to have, when we did the street ministry, and I'll get into that in a minute, but when people, we had a place probably about, I guess maybe about as big as this, that we fed a lot of people in, and people would volunteer to come down and help us. Because they hear about what we were doing, they come down, yeah, I want to volunteer. And we said, well, your job is to stand in front of the bathrooms, because we couldn't let more than one person go in there. They'd go in there and chewed up or something. So you just let one person in there at a time, and sometimes there was things that happened in there that were very uncomfortable to take care of, clean up, and of our volunteers, we went, you know, that's too messy for me. It's not my calling. My calling is just prayer. I pray. And we say, well, we got enough of those. We need somebody to clean up the you-know-what on the floor. Are you missing that, you know? So, there's leaders. Has the Lord given you the stewardship gift of a spiritual leader? Could be. Maybe there's some Bible study things going on. I don't know. I'm trying to challenge you with this. Are you watching over someone or someone's? And you remember Shane has talked about your sphere of influence, the people that you're intermingling with in your life, and all of those, they're kind of like the Olympic circles. The people that I interact with are probably not some of the people that you interact with, but there may be a few that kind of cross over. And this is my sphere of influence. And we'll get to how to improve that a little bit later, but you all have influence. Some big, some not so big. But what are you doing with that? Okay? And I just went on to say, are you in a position to teach, a position to influence others about Christ? And are you applying the gift? In my life, God has entrusted many people to watch over, and I kind of fell into it because it wasn't something that maybe this you can relate to this. It wasn't something that I raised my hand and said, I want to watch over a bunch of people. I didn't even know what that meant. But God started putting people in my life that I would contact, or they would contact me, and now all of a sudden that person's in my life. And now all of a sudden that person's got something going on in their life that he's asking me about. And we got to look it up in the Word and see how to handle this thing. And now there's another person. It goes on and on and on. 2 Corinthians 12:19. And this is important because there's fruit in all of this. Again, is that one? Yeah. Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. That's what we're in this thing for. And we get blessed because of that. When the Lord entrusted these people to me, it was pleasing to Him. And guess what? It was pleasing to me too. I saw the fruit. And Paul talks about that. He says, I counted joy or something like that when he hears about how well his people are doing. That's edifying to him to hear how well people are doing. That's some of your reward. As you step out and you start doing things, you see the fruit in other people's lives and you go, man, I'm so happy for them. They made it through that difficult time. And I got to be part of it. You know, I got to kind of guide them a little bit. So, here's the part. This is kind of a story, but it's true. How God will pull you out of your comfort zone or your uncomfortable zone. I don't know what it is. And start lining you up with the things He wants you to do. So, years ago, Janice and I were part of a ministry that started in Eugene, and it was called the Street Ministry. We were just part of it for a while there, and I started off in a building about this size, but the roof was about this tall. It was like in the basement, and we're, you know, hunkering down, and you get a lot of street people in there, and it's suffocating. It's kind of tight. And so we started off helping, and Janice, I have to admit, before me, had the calling. I mean, she felt, this is what I want to do. I want to help people. I want to get them off the streets. And she kind of drug me into it a little bit, and I got involved. We played music down there. And it was where we started off, there was maybe 60 people would show up. And this is just one night a week, and believe me, that's enough if you're feeding as many people as you can. And the more we did it, the more I had compassion for people that were really hurting. I mean, people were coming in that were... we didn't have any restrictions at the time, and hardly ever did, to people that were they were high on something, or they were off their meds, or drunk, or whatever it was, and that they're all homeless. None of them are sleeping in a house. So you can kind of get the picture of what was going on there. But we had compassion. God was building that in us. So had the gift. It was down in here somewhere. Didn't know it was there. In fact, I didn't even want it to be there because I didn't want to do that. It looked messy and stinky and everything else. But God said, bring it out more and more. And now I'm starting to talk with guys. And there's guys that I met, I don't know when, however long ago, 15 years, 20 years ago, that I still talk to occasionally. They're still on the street, but I see them, and they know me, and I know them, and we can talk. And God's just bringing this out. Well, pretty soon the people that were running it, they wore out, because it's a wear out kind of job. And Janice and I took it over as co-directors. And it grew from that 60, 80 people to sometimes it got up around 200, 300 people a night. And if you can figure that out, coming in here, that many people in this room with tables and food prep over here. We had food that we gave them, of course. We had clothing that we handed out. We had music going. We had prayer teams all over the place. We had before and after coffee. We had a service going on in another room. We had church going on. It was a big deal. Huge big deal. We did this. And even on Christmas, we had up to 500 people in there. And we handed out gifts to everybody. Everybody got something. Sleeping bag, boots, a kit with essentials in it, things like that. And so you can see how this thing is growing. It was the talents. God has given us 10, and now we're applying this thing, and we're saying, look, Lord, what we've done with this. And he kept growing this thing, growing it, growing it. We did... we did that for a long time, and then we bought a food trailer with some of the monies that we gathered from donation. Big food trailer, fixed it all up, and we started putting people coming out of prison. There's sponsors is a place where transitional people go from prison to sponsors to wherever, and we put them to work in the food trailer. And that was stretching also, but there's another deal. We're doing this, and now we're making a little bit of money and whatever, and then we Janice actually started the Smiles, where we were getting people dental work, false teeth. I mean, it just going clear back to where I'm going, I don't know if I want to get involved with this thing. And God's going, no, it's huge out there. of how you can help people, have compassion over people. And it's way beyond what we could do. We had 100 helpers. That's how many people. It was crazy. I should have brought pictures of it. It's like this room is full of people, helpers and homeless people. And it was really crazy. So God kept bringing that up and bringing that up. And Janice did most of the hard work of getting things going. And after that slowed down, I went to work for the mission. Now I'm in the mission at the Eugene Mission for 5 or 6 years, and I helped start the Life Change program there. And we're getting guys that want to get off the streets, and they're clean and sober, and we put them through a year and a half program of all this, and it's elaborate. It's still going on there. Helped get that started. And go back, 5 or 10 years, I never would have said, I want to work at the mission and help guys. God's saying, no, got some track work to do here first. And I'll bring this out in you. I'll show you where my compassion comes from and my diligence. Diligence was something. And you had to do this. 200 or 300 people are going to show up on Thursday night or whatever it was. You got to do this. You can't go, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to watch Oprah tonight. And not working. You got to be there and you got to have the food ready. So it caused us to be more diligent in God's work. That's what God can do for you. That's just one little example of how when you're just sitting there thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I have any skills at all. They are in there. And they're maybe buried, or they're maybe back on the back shelf, just waiting for you to dust that thing off and go, wow, I don't even know it. You could just put the word out there and see if that's going to fit for you. How am I going to grow in this gift for God's glory? So first, we're entrusted to do the work of the kingdom, and I think that's a big deal. God's saying, here's something I'm entrusting to you, giving you the 10 talents. I'm entrusting you to do something with this thing. That's why he was so mad at the guy that buried his one. He said, man, I entrusted you with this. You did nothing with it. I could have kept it in my pocket, or I could have put it in the bank and gained interest from it. So we're entrusted with that, and we're to invest it, whatever it is, and we get to see the fruit of those investments somewhere down the line. I would guess someone like Shane and Tammy see that fruit from time to time of coming back. Somebody say, hey, I saw you on the internet, and I gave my life to the Lord last Sunday. It's the fruit of the investment. And we'll see that too. So here's the last. I don't know how I'm doing on time. Probably better than Pastor would be doing. But I mean, not better, but shorter. And I love this scripture. The scripture. It's Isaiah 54:2. And it can mean nothing to you until you start thinking about what God wants you to do. And he's saying, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. God is saying that to us today. Enlarge your place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtains. Don't hold back. That's a big one for us. Don't hold back. God's got something for you to do in this lifetime now, and don't hold that. Enlarge your life. Don't be fearful. Stretch out your influence, your sphere of influence. Step over that boundary a little bit. Go talk to your neighbor or somebody. How about your boss? talk to your boss. You know, some guys are saying, I talk to my boss about Jesus and they'll fire me. Well, maybe there'll be a time. Yeah, maybe get a different job. We get fearful to do that. You know, the lady that, or the person behind the cash register that is having a bad day. Take a second. There's nobody behind you. Take a second. Yeah. Ma'am, are you having a bad day? Yeah, I am. Well, I used to have a lot of bad days and I still do, but you know, I put my trust in Christ now. And I can lean on Him. Because I found out that I can't lean on anything else but Him to get me through the day. Just put the seed out there. We're planting seeds, right? And someday there'll be some fruit in that. So lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, don't hold back, and it's all for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. That's the end of my sermon. And that's my challenge to you guys and me is, I used to tell the guys in the Life Change program, wouldn't it be great if God had walked through, there was usually about 15 or 20 guys going through the program, and I thought, I'd say to them, wouldn't it be neat if the Lord had come by and said, this is what you're going to be. This is what I have for you. This is what I have for you. And maybe even show a video up here of you doing that. Because, you know, here we are, and those guys are sitting there going, you know, I never amount to anything. I'm 50 years old. I've been in prison half my life, and I've messed up every relationship I can. I'm still hankering for some kind of drug. And God's going, no. Let me show you what I got for you. You can't, this is you. This is you managing that Shell station. Oh, you're over six guys. And that's not it. You go on to there where you get your own franchise or something. Wouldn't that be interesting if God just came along and said, no, I'm not done with you yet. I've got stuff for you. And here's what I got for you. Amen? So, I want to just take a second and with just giving everybody privacy. And this, I'm not going to have you come forward or anything like that, but if this is a moment in time where God is finger or His thumb on a certain area of your life or a challenge in your life, this might be the time in the privacy of this church to raise your hand and say, I want to be partaking in your kingdom more than I am right now. I don't want to just go to work and come home. I want to be participating in your kingdom because remember what it says? I'm coming back. I'm on my way back. I don't know if you guys have heard of Jack Hayford or not, but not too many years ago, he had a vision of the throne room of the Lord, and he said, I couldn't see any faces or anything like that. He says, but I did see a lap of someone sitting in a throne, and the hands were on his lap, and the lap had a robe or something on there. In the lap was full of oil. And he said this, the hands went onto the armrest and started to get up. And the oil was flowing. I think God is really, really close to getting up and coming for us. Let's not miss our time, our remnant time right now by concentrating on fearful things and worldly things and whatnot. Okay? Let's just take a moment and do that. Lord, I want to lift up this time to you and thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true and right and faithful. And as we just take this moment, Lord, to maybe recommit our direction to you, we want to search our souls and say, Lord, What is that gift? What is that stewardship gift that I need to be applying to my life and others? Show me what it is today, Lord, that I might be participating in your kingdom more and more today. Extend my tent pegs, Lord. Extend my sphere of influence to where I'm bringing glory to you in everything that I do. And just, I'm going to keep my eyes closed too, but just right now, if that's you, raise your hand. And you want to, just before the Lord, I want to be more than I am right now, Lord. I want to be the person that you want me to be, Lord. I want to be participating in your kingdom more, Lord. Use me as you wish. Bend me and shape me and mold me into the person you want me to be, Lord. Because I've gotten stagnant. I've gotten stale. I've gotten comfortable. Or I've gotten fearful. Lord, I want to be your servant, your steward over what you've given me. And I want to be that one that you come back and say, good job. Good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Lord, we just want to pray a prayer for all the folks that can't be here today that aren't feeling well. Pray for speedy recovery. Pray for healing. Pray for wisdom for doctors. And we pray, Lord, for a covering over us. Cover us. Be with us. Guide us. That we might bring glory to you, Lord. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. That's it. Amen. Thank you, everybody, whoever's out there, maybe watching, one or two. And leave us a note if this sermon or the event here meant something to you. We've got some comments there, possibly. So, other than that, have a great week. Have a great day. See you Wednesday or sooner. Amen.